You're listening to the UCB Long Form Conversations podcast, in-depth conversations with performers and teachers from the best alternative comedy theater on the planet. This podcast is modeled on the improv form Laurent, so the guest of our last episode becomes the host of this episode, and today's guest will become the host of our next episode. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center.
Warning. What you're about to hear is an extremely nerdy conversation about long-form improv comedy.
Welcome to the UCB Longform Conversations podcast from New York City. I'm Carrie McCrossin, and I was a guest on the last episode. But today, look out, I'm the host. And my guest today is James Lethemis. Sorry, that was very... I'm reading this off of a... It says insert your name here. That's what my cold reads are always like. My guest today... is James III. Very excited.
Oh, hello.
Hi. So listeners might know him from maybe they're an improv fan who sees him perform on Some Kid.
Yes.
Harold Knight. Maybe they've seen him with Astronomy Club on Lloyd Knight or in their running show at UCB.
Yeah.
Right? And you guys also host a jam.
We do, the Diversity Jam.
Yeah. Yes. So fans might know you from any of those things. I remember the first time I met you. I don't even know if we actually met. I don't know if you'll remember this. We did a masterclass with...
Oh, yes.
Marcy Phillips.
Mm-hmm, I do remember
And
that.
I did not know who you were. Yeah. I didn't even know if you were, like, affiliated with UCB. I think you were on a mod team at the time, which is
just,
terrible.
Yeah, like a minute before that, I got on a mod team.
So yeah. So you did your scene, and I was like, holy shit, this guy is really good, and I don't know who he is. So that was my first experience of meeting you or seeing you. Cool. And so, but you also have a ton of other stuff going on. It seems like you have a ton of other stuff going on.
Too many things in my calendar. But it's not like, you know, it's not like all like, oh, it's all flashy. It's just a lot of stuff.
That's okay. A lot of stuff is good. Busy stuff. But you also do stand-up. You do... Do you still do theater? Do you audition for theater and stuff like that?
I do. I stopped when I started doing comedy heavily. I stopped, but I've in the last few months I've auditioned for a couple plays.
Very cool. Yeah. Okay, so still auditioning for plays, television, commercials.
Yes,
all of the above. So busy.
Someone hire me.
Give this man a job.
Hire me.
Cool. Well, so I wanted to so. What happened first, the theater or the comedy?
I would say the comedy happened first, but, like, if I'm thinking about me as a kid, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you were funny.
I was, like, I used to do, like, cartoon voices.
Okay. listen, this is a podcast. Please grace us with a cartoon voice.
Oh, my God, with a cartoon voice? Well, I have a lower timbre now in my voice than I used to as a kid.
Oh, okay, so
but,
excuses.
Like, I used to do the...
Sounds like excuses to me.
I used to do, like, all the different Looney Tunes characters.
Okay.
Had a Gilbert Gottfried as Iago impression that
okay,
I used to do.
Okay, great. Classic.
So that came first, Aladdin I would fans say.
Okay, so you were cutting up as a kid.
Yes.
You're silly, funny. But then you went to school for theater.
Yes. Then I went to Performing Arts Middle School and High School.
Oh, where? In the city?
In Ohio.
In Ohio, okay. Mm-hmm.
And I did that, and I was introduced to improv there, like, you know, like theater games and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember any of your favorite improv games from,
yes,
like, junior high? Okay.
Yes. I used to love, like, film, TV, theater styles.
Uh-huh.
It's like anything where, like... You know, when at that age, I think it was like you were always given a who, what, where first.
Yeah,
but then
totally.
You would have that. And then from that, like, you know, they would layer on the different film, TV, and theater styles.
So you do like Western.
Yeah.
Or like
or film noir.
Film noir. You know, that's great. Okay.
So fun.
Okay. I can picture all the theater kids going nuts.
Yes.
For all that stuff. So that was junior high. So you were getting
some experience doing improv then at a young age.
Yes.
But it was more, was it long form or was that more like?
No,
it
was short form.
I feel like when you give you Who, What, Where, it feels more like a short form.
Yeah,
right?
It was all short form. I didn't know long form was a thing back then. Like, I knew Whose Line Is It Anyway, you know?
We all did.
Yeah, everybody did.
Of course
did.
We did, yeah.
Oh. But like,
which tells everyone our ages, probably.
Yes. Well, no, it is still on.
Oh yeah, it's still on. We're current.
We're so hip. I was like really into that, but I didn't learn what long form was until college.
Until college, and did you do improv in your college?
And I did, but I did short form improv in college.
Short form. Okay.
Yes.
You went to Marymount.
Marymount, Manhattan.
Mm-hmm. And you were studying theater.
That's right.
Okay, but you were doing long form improv at the time.
I was doing short
form
improv
short form.
The time. Yeah.
Cool.
There was a troupe called Nuts and Bolts.
Oh, such a funny name.
Nuts and
Sounds
Bolts.
Like a funny tour.
I remember specifically, I used to make fun of improv names a lot back then, but my friend started the group. He went to the school before I did. And I was like, and he was like, it's called Nuts and Bolts. I was like, okay, cool. So the S's have to be Z's, and the and has to be the ampersand symbol because that's funny.
Yeah, way funnier. That's great. So you were on Nuts and Bolts?
Mm-hmm, yeah. So for 3 years.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
And where did you guys just perform for other students? Did you go to
We did. Back then, the group only performed like for students, and then as newer kids came in who like had a wider understanding of like that improv was more of a thing than like just something that you do for fun. We're like, why don't we branch out?
Festivals?
Why don't we start doing long form? Why don't we do festivals?
Yeah. Oh, cool.
And I think Nuts and Bolts, like, they try to do DCM now.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Oh,
stuff like
so
that.
Nuts and Bolts is still around.
Yeah, Nuts and Bolts is still around.
Is it spelled with a Z?
It's still spelled with a Z.
Thank heavens. So you made a real impact.
Yeah, like, I mean, well, yeah, somebody did.
That's great. So you at Marymount Manhattan, you were studying theater.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you've done some, I looked at your resume.
Oh, okay.
You've done some prestigious thing. You did the Public Shakespeare Lab.
I did, yeah.
And you've worked at some really wonderful theaters around.
Yeah, I try to get around.
It seems like you succeed.
I came to New York to do comedy. Like in my mind, I was gonna. There used to be a Second City here, and I was gonna do school in Second City at the same time.
Cool.
And I didn't have any money, so
okay.
And then Second City also was just like, we're not gonna be in New York anymore, so that didn't happen. So then I got really into theater, like heavy into theater. I saw Shakespeare in the Park, and I was like, this is amazing.
What did you see?
I saw A Midsummer Night's Dream, and Jesse Tyler Ferguson played flute. That year, I mean, that production was great, but he was so funny in it, and I was like, oh, I want to do this.
Yeah.
and got totally distracted. Didn't do any comedy for a while, and like just tried really hard to do a lot of theater.
Any favorite theater productions in college?
And when I was still in Ohio before I transferred to a school in New York, I did Waiting for Godot.
Oh, that has a lot of. I mean, I don't know if everyone will know, but maybe some of our listeners know. It has a lot of comedy in it. And a little bit of like clowning generally.
A lot of like vaudeville and clown kind of stuff. And I was so happy to get to do it, you know? And at Marymount, we did a production of Grapes of Wrath, which I played like a bunch of different ensemble characters in. And stuff like that is a lot of fun for me. Like being able to be different people in the same production. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So I can see, like, being able, knowing that you wanted to do comedy, but getting heavily involved in theater and working on all of those muscles, what eventually was the next move that you eventually came to UCB? Were there other steps in between there?
There were other steps in between. Like, I tried to do theater for a while. I got some, professional work out of it, and it was, like, cool, but I wasn't fulfilled. I didn't feel fulfilled. I started writing a solo show about a very heavy thing in my life. I'll tell you, might as well. My dad passing when I was very young. And I was like, okay, I'm going to write this thing, but I don't want it to be super heavy. And then comedy started in the back of my mind, like, you have to do that thing that you originally came here to do. That'll help you make this thing a little lighter.
So you wrote a solo show mm-hmm. about a very heavy topic, mm-hmm. and you thought, I will use comedy to add levity to this
right.
topic and
mm-hmm.
make it, was that to make it more watchable? Did you feel like that would reach
yeah,
more people?
Yeah, like I didn't want it to be something that people sat down and just stared at and was like sad,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
like I didn't even want to partake in, you know, doing that.
You didn't want to relive that. Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I looked into like the diversity scholarship at UCB and then that's.
Then you started here.
Then I started, yeah.
Cool. Okay, so that's really interesting. So it seems like you have these dual things going on. You have this like drama and the heavier topic, and then and you're interested in that and wanting to work on that, and then also feeling like in the back of your brain there's always this voice that's saying like do comedy. Yeah. Cool. So you said you weren't fulfilled when you were getting work in theater,
mm-hmm.
you said you still didn't feel quite fulfilled, and that led you to write your own show,
yeah.
which eventually led you to take classes, diversity scholarship or whatever.
Right.
Do you know what it was that you were missing? Do you know what you felt not unfulfilled by?
I mean, it was just sort of like that going to audition after audition and being like, can you pick me, you know?
Yeah, like, it was out of your hands.
You know, yeah, completely out of my hands, whereas... You know, once I started doing with all these things, improv, you know, stand up, it's all like I have creative input.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's all
yeah.
driven by me. You know,
yeah,
and that's great.
And your creative input is a value. It is the thing.
It's not like nobody's like, we don't want to hear from this person.
Right.
You
that's
know?
All,
like,
that's
it's
what
like
you're
we
bringing
have,
to the table. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So, can I ask this? Did you get the diversity scholarship? Is that what
I did?
You got the,
yeah.
You took your first class?
I did. I got the diversity scholarship, and that
congratulations.
Was congratulations. Thank you. I was still doing a theater, I was still working in theater. When I got that scholarship, like I finished a play, and then the next week I started my first
that's awesome.
Class, and yeah, it was great. I took an intensive, a one on one intensive with Chelsea Clark.
Oh, that's great.
It was amazing. I remember reading that Chelsea went to Marymount, and thinking that was cool, and that. Because with intensive, it's like
was
you
she
don't
a
know.
Nuts and Boltzer?
She was.
No.
I don't even know if we overlapped or would have overlapped.
Yeah.
But, no, she wasn't.
Okay.
But like with the intensive, like it being like a, you don't know who the teacher's going to be. And then
yeah.
it ended up being her for
oh,
the whole
yeah, you got
two
lucky.
Weeks. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
And I thought that was cool.
Yeah. Awesome. So was that your first like formal experience doing long form? I know you said you were dabbling with it a little bit in college. But
yeah,
that was
it was my first formal experience doing long form. And it was also like what I think is the first time I understood, really understood improv.
Really?
Yeah, like I felt like I had learned, I had like had backwards understandings of like certain rules, the rules, Rob, like not saying no, you know, meaning
yeah.
like you can never say the word no, you know,
yeah.
and like making your partner look good, being like, you know, like or treating your partners like geniuses, like you can't do. I interpreted that as like you can't do anything.
Yeah.
Like you don't do anything. They do everything. You
yeah.
know?
So,
and,
so.
Yeah.
So you. So I think this is interesting to our listeners, or at least it's interesting to me, to know how you were attacking short form and
yeah.
how that started to shift when you were studying. So you're saying one of the things is that you maybe had a different. And this could be just maturing and taking more classes, but having
yeah.
a slightly different understanding of the rules.
Yeah. And I think that it was just like I learned them so young. You know, like, how do you teach a middle schooler yes and? You say, don't say no.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean? Like,
yeah,
and so,
yeah.
like, and I for
and
my
was, like,
whole life was just like,
your,
that's
yeah.
it. Never
yeah.
say the word no.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, you, and, you know, the word agreement was something that was introduced to me at UCB.
Yeah.
As a part of yes and.
Yeah.
But that was never there before. So
yeah.
it was this weird thing that I think was stuck in my head and is still something that I think, like, is very small, like, a part of me. But, like, but it was very eye-opening.
Yeah.
To to learn those things.
Cool. And then did you know, like, when at the time you were applying for that scholarship and starting to take classes, did you know, like, I want to do long form now? Or was it just something that you were doing because you wanted to do? I mean, ultimately, was your goal to be a stand-up? Was your goal to be, like, a comedic actor?
Yeah, my goal was, it changes depending on the day and time that you're talking to me.
I think that's fair.
In my diversity scholarship application, I specifically mentioned SNL.
Oh, okay.
I was like, SNL, like, I'm gonna do, you know. But yeah, comedic actor, I think, is the best way to crystallize exactly what I am and what I do.
Cool. So you took 101 as an intensive.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about your path to... Was your first house team astronomy club?
No, my first house team was a mod team.
Oh, yes, team. Yes.
And that happened in 2013. My first class was in 2011. And I...
That's a pretty fast ascent first class to... I mean, I know you were working in the theater at the time,
right?
To being on a house team.
Yeah, it was crazy, and I didn't expect anything out of it. I was very nervous, but that was my first time getting to audition for mod and being placed on a team, and it was great. My first time on an improv team though was Astronomy Club, and we formed as a team to audition, together, and worked together for almost a full year. Like, I would say 9 months to a year before
you even auditioned together. And you auditioned together.
And then we auditioned together.
And you're still working
And
together.
We still work together. And I love them so much. and it's really great that we still get to do comedy together.
Yeah, that's really... Do you guys have... how long has the history show been running?
Our first show was like a one-off Black History Month show in February last year. So it's been running for almost a full year.
A full year, really? Yeah. Oh, it's not February yet.
It's not February yet.
Maybe it is to our listeners. I don't know when this is going to be released.
Yeah.
It's not today
while we're talking.
Almost, yeah. It's got to be released in February. So listeners, just don't be confused. Don't go by us. So that's been running for a year. Do you guys have other projects in the works?
We every now and again talk about things that we could possibly do, but we don't have anything specifically lined
Nothing
up or set
hard,
up.
Yeah, hard yeah. and fast. Cool. So, well, how long were you on Astronomy Club before you moved? Were you just moved directly from that to Some Kid?
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
And so we were on Lloyd for a year before Astronomy Club was split up. House team wise, and then I went to Some Kid right from there.
Cool. And how has that? How was the experience of moving from Lloyd to Harold?
What the biggest difference for me is, I guess, was just like the team, like the change in team. Because the Astronomy Club, we had worked together for so long, so we started to really understand our energies together.
Yeah.
You know, and so you start to fill a role.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you just start to, you know, in the show, these are the kinds of, this is how you sort of fit in with the team.
I mean,
and we have played, yeah.
And you start to find a group mind.
Right.
Which sometimes takes a little while to really get your group, get up to speed as a group or whatever it is. Yeah. To get comfortable with each other.
And so like that, and with Some Kid, it was a nice transition.
Sure.
It didn't feel like we were getting off to a slow start or anything like that. But it was just like, oh, this is different, you know?
Yeah. It is a new experience. And I'm sure on mod too, anytime you have a roster change, in my experience, the change of one person, like losing one person and having one replacement, even when both people are solid and talented, there's still just like a little bit of a group shift. Yeah.
Yeah.
It takes a little, because a team is like a, I don't know, a really delicious muffin and you just changed an ingredient.
A really delicious muffin, I think, is a great way to put it.
You know, I just got in my head because somebody last night said that a great improv team is like really like alchemy. It was Brennan. Oh. It was Brennan. And I wanted to use that metaphor, but I didn't want to steal it. So I just changed it to muffin.
But you know what? It's like a muffin.
It's just
and
like a muffin.
Alchemy.
Okay. So the switch, because you had a new team, there was a little bit of just like figuring that
yeah,
out.
Figuring out what the new energy is.
Yeah. And were you doing stand-up at the time that you were doing improv?
Yes. I started stand-up a little later. I would say that, like, I started improv in 2011. I started stand-up in 2012.
Has that influenced your improv?
No, I guess is the answer. But I did start to notice, like, there was something that people would say, like, this person improvises like a stand-up.
Yes.
Which is...
We've heard people say this before. Yeah. What do you think that means?
I mean, I guess it means that they are looking for jokes or mm-hmm. not necessarily looking for jokes, but, like, when the joke comes, it comes out of their mouth. You know what I
yeah.
mean? Like, when the setup is there, they're like, well, this is what I have to say right now.
Yeah.
Do you know? And just because that is how they have been training to think for so long.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a lot of, I don't think it's a negative thing. I think it's, you know.
Yeah, I completely agree.
I think it's great.
It's an asset.
Yeah.
Yeah. I try to remind, because I've had students that come from a stand-up background, and it's like, know your strengths. If your strength is that you
right.
can make a quip or a joke, that's
right.
great to know. Is that the only skill you will need in improv? No.
No
you'll need
right.
a lot of other skills too, but
and
yeah.
because that has never been me, starting to do stand-up has not, it hasn't changed my improv to be that way. Like,
oh,
it still takes...
What, you're never jokey or quippy?
Yeah, it still takes me a long way to get to a joke in my stand-up. So
you've got a tight 35.
I have a tight 35, which is my tight 5.
Yeah, okay. That's great. So what do you think your... I mean, looking at your bio, right,
mm-hmm.
I'm looking at a lot of... stage experience at like reputable theaters. Guys, go and look at this guy's resume.
Look at my
bio.
Very
impressive. I mean, so theater experience and like mm-hmm. some acting experience on TV and film and that kind of stuff. I would assume that has had a big impact on you as a performer and as an improviser. Then the addition of also doing stand up. What do you think are the biggest influences on your improv?
Oh, I mean, I think it's definitely theater, and I think it's definitely like
clown
specifically.
Did you study clowning?
I did Commedia dell'arte,
yes.
like a distilled
yes.
version in middle school.
In middle school,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it was all about, you know, like,
yeah. Explain what that is for anyone who might not know.
So the Commedia dell'arte, I'm going to. Ruin
Give us
this
the bastardized
explanation of it.
Version.
But,
it's
essentially an Italian theater form where you use stock characters to tell a story, and there's like mm-hmm. there's a series of skits or lotzi that you draw from, which is, I guess you would even say, like, game. Like, there are set games that you would play.
Lotzis are little, like, bits that
yeah.
you keep playing.
That you just repeat over and over, you know. And so there's a character, Arlecchino, who is a Zani or
You seem like
a servant.
You could be a Arlecchino
And that's,
type.
Yeah, that was where I started. But there are other characters, too. Capitano, he's braggart. He's a braggart mm-hmm. kind of character.
Braggadocio. Yeah. Tell me what my type would be, what my comedian type would be.
Well, I mean, I would say,
I have one that I want.
I would say either Harlequin or Arlecchino or Isabella.
Ugh, that's not what I wanted.
But I mean, that's
Columbina is what I wanted.
Columbina. You know what, though?
I'm getting older.
You know what? 100%. You're definitely a Columbina. I don't know why I said what I said. I'm going to erase what
I
said.
Take it back, goddammit. Okay, now that before we completely go down this rabbit hole, we're talking about stock characters, clowning, with aspects of clowning,
right.
and lotzi, which are little, like, games or little bits that you
right.
work into. So you were doing this in middle school?
Yes.
Did you use masks?
We did sometimes, but my teacher, she had like really nice masks that she didn't want us to.
She didn't want you to fuck.
She didn't want us to mess them up. Yeah.
I went to Italy when I bought these.
And I bought these masks. So you can look at them, which yeah. she had them on the wall and they were all great. We would build slapsticks though.
Yes. You would build what?
We would build slapsticks.
I don't know what that is.
Okay, explain, so a slapstick is something that like you would have to beat people with. It's essentially like yeah. a baton that you would hold on. But we would.
So like a literal, like, so is that where slapstick comes from?
I guess,
like
yes. I guess
must
that's
be.
Where that term specifically yeah. comes from. But you would have a slapstick that yeah. has, you know, like a, had a hand on it, like a glove that we put stuffing in and we would
and
hit each
people.
Other.
Yeah, because I think a big part of it is that the fools are frequently beaten or berated.
Yes,
in these
but then
shows.
A fool could have one too.
Yeah, okay.
But how this connects to improv for everyone
so,
that's
no, but,
wondering.
So you're saying that this is but a like, big impact
but,
on.
Yeah, so like that was an improvised form that we would improvise and then write. And then
in middle school, what an education!
And then now I would say that there are probably, I mean, as much as I'm not trying to do this, I would say that there are, you know, characters that live in me that I just call to, I think that they're connected to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
I mean, if we always played the same characters all the time that had the same games, I guess yeah, that would be boring. But right. isn't there something very true to finding those are like archetypal things that have existed for hundreds of years that
right.
we find funny. So of course there's some aspect of that, like where that lives in your body, right?
Yeah.
That, like,
yeah.
I don't think there's any shame in that.
Right.
To call upon
Thank
that
you.
In a
because I've been so worried about
don't
it.
Don't be worried.
For so long.
So Commedia is a big impact on your improv. Anything else? Any notable, like, is there, like, either a class that you took or a form that you worked on that you found helpful? Did you ever take advanced study classes?
I did. I've taken a handful. But the only full one that I took, like, over multiple weeks, I took a lot of, like, 2 week or, like, mm-hmm. you know.
Little workshops.
Yeah. I took one with Gavin Spieler and I thought it was great.
Cool.
Like, one long one.
Long one. Yeah. 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 Any, like, forms or anything that, felt like it stretched you or, like, you learned a lot from it?
Well, I mean, a form that I really was excited to get to do, I played on an indie team for a while that did sitcoms, improvised sitcoms called Nobody's Token. And a lot of the members from that ended up being, like, the core group that is now Astronomy Club.
Oh, awesome. I'll see you guys go way back.
Yeah,
back.
We go way back. Way, and that was really fun because that's actually kind of connected to this idea of playing stock characters or like you know or
yeah a
characters.
Sitcom certainly
and,
would I, have,
and
yeah.
it was so much fun and we did that for and I was a part of that group is that group has been around for a long time but I did it with the new class I guess you could say for about a year
nobody's
or so.
Choking the new class
yeah
that's great. So that felt like a formative experience mm-hmm. doing that. And was that wasn't born out of a class. That was just something you guys wanted to do.
No, that, I mean, I'm not even sure how the group started, you know,
because
it started before me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay.
But I mean, you know, in the name though, Nobody's Token, I think it is connected to like, we want to fill a diversity void, you know?
Yeah. Well, was everyone on the team a person of color?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, and nobody's the token one is
nobody
sort of,
was a token.
The name comes Great. From. Yeah.
Great. So you were so let me ask you about that. So you were sensing that there obviously our community has a need for diversity.
Yeah.
You guys were feeling that. Mm-hmm. You don't know. You didn't form that group.
Well, that
so you don't
well
know.
So but it's similar roots for Astronomy Club though too. Like I got the idea for the group after. Auditions the year right before.
Yeah.
And I didn't get on a team, and it wasn't that. Like, I didn't think that I didn't get on a team for that reason or anything like that. I was just like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if there was a team with all people of color on it?
Yeah.
And so I reached out to a bunch of people. It didn't originally start with Nobody's Token. I reached out
yeah.
to a bunch of people to see what was available, and it just ended up falling that way. And there's like a, I mean, I would just say, and speaking from this point of view, it's different, you know, it's different to you know, we all in improv, we want to create a group mind, yeah. right? And you know, and group mind is you can get to it faster if you have shared a large number of shared experiences,
yeah.
right? You know, which is why, you know, you just when you look at improv teams, a lot of them look similarly to each other. You yeah. know, you know what I mean? Like just in general, you can look at you can probably describe people on any given improv team, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, that what was great about Astronomy Club and when we first got together, you know, it was one of the, even though I'd been doing Nobody's Token, it was one of the first times being able to place certain characters and, you know, and reenact certain, like, you know, games are played in different ways. Same games that we know, but are played in different ways in with that group or with those same like-minded people. And that was what was great about it for me.
Yeah, it seems like, especially when you are in that phase where you're at that, like, advanced level and you're looking to hopefully get on a team and you're able to do good improv, but you're looking for, like, just how do you define yourself? How do you get to be, like, how do you get to play with a team where you can, like, start knocking it out of the park?
Yeah.
Instead of just being good, like, how do you get to be great? It seems like you want to find people where you can succeed and people who will help you all get there together as
yeah.
a team.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I guess you're saying that was sort of the spirit behind putting that team together.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, that's really, really great.
Yeah. I mean, it was really wonderful. I mean, like, I think about it like a game of mind meld, right? And so in mind meld, you know, you might not... If the word that's said is...
the improv warm-up game that we've probably all played.
If the words that are said are like, you know, I was going to try to make something up, but it's going to be bad. But it's like finding that word in between,
yeah.
you know, and how can you get to that word
yeah.
faster? And the more yeah. the more you're the same person,
yeah.
the
easier
you can
mind
get to
that. Yeah. Yeah. So do you feel like that was a necessary step? And do you feel like it's good now to be playing on a Herald team where you didn't know everyone coming
yeah.
in or
mm-hmm.
like, and it's, you know, not all people of color. It's a totally different bag.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's just different, you
yeah.
know, the teams are different. A team like Astronomy Club is one thing and a team like Some Kid is another.
Yeah.
And they're all great
yeah.
for the reasons that they're great.
Yeah. And they probably work different aspects of the individual improviser.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You are called upon to do different things in different groups.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, and you don't have to answer this if you don't want to. But Nobody's Token is the name of the improvised pilot or improvised pilot.
Sitcom.
It's a sitcom. I'm writing a pilot, so
but
that's
no,
on
sometimes
the top of my
they
head.
Were pilots.
They're all pilots,
it's
really.
True. They're all pilots.
contact him immediately if you want to pick them up. But have there been times when you have felt like you were the token?
You know,
improv, in theater, in what have you?
You know, yeah, not, it doesn't always happen. There was one time in a class.
Please don't say names.
No, of course. No. And it was not at UCB, considering because of the tension. That is a true thing. It was not UCB, but it was in a class that I took somewhere. And someone like called me Shaniqua, and it was like, why am I Shaniqua? Like,
in a scene, you mean?
In a scene, and it was just like, I don't know why I'm Shaniqua or why I need to be called Shaniqua.
You hadn't done anything that made you feel like...
I did no thing Shaniqua.
If you had named that character, what would you have named her?
You know, I would have named... First of all, I thought it was a man.
Okay. So right off the bat, they missed some major cues, probably.
And I thought I was just speaking like myself, but I don't know. Who knows? Maybe I had some affectation. I thought I was a woman.
Okay.
In the scene, but I would have named that person Tracy.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, whatever. But whatever. So you felt like, yeah. So you felt like, oh, where did that come from?
That, I mean, but that's probably honestly the only time it has ever happened to me in any comedic scenario. But yeah, you know, I have felt like the token in the past. Yeah. It happens.
I'm sure it happens. Yeah. And I'm sure, like, there are times where, I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but are there times when it rolls right off your back and other times where you feel like it bothers you?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a whole.
Yeah. I think it's a mixed
spectrum
it's
of.
Just
reaction.
Like what my goals are as a comedian change from minute to you know.
Yeah.
It's the same how I feel about this. It's like sometimes I want to address it and sometimes it's like, whatever.
Yeah.
I cannot right now.
So do you feel like there is. Either an expectation or a burden or something on you as a comedian or as an artist to address that stuff in your stand-up, in your solo shows, in your
Well, it
work
is something
in general.
That interests me. So I do talk about like race in my stand-up for sure. And I just got off a project recently that was about race. You know, and it's something that is very interesting to me. And it's a big part of my life, so I do address it.
So write what you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I think we are, like, in the general wrap-up zone, but
cool.
I wanted to ask you if you remember any, like, epic fails, like your
oh
some of your
gosh.
Worst shows
wow.
in improv.
Epic fails?
Sometime when you left the stage and like, did you ever, if you've ever had a time when you left the stage and you just were like, oh, I bombed.
I will say this about specifically, the teams that I've been on are so supportive and so great that I have never, oh God, there's no wood in this room and I cannot knock on anything.
You've never bombed.
But I have never left a stage and felt like that is the worst thing I have ever done.
Not even in like a class show though?
I do. What about? Almost especially not in a class show.
Really?
Class shows were great for me.
Oh,
I felt great about class
jealous.
Shows. But what I will say for sure, and that's just because the groups have been so supportive.
That's
that, like,
fantastic.
When things are there, things fall flat. And I will say that I as someone who has been living with the idea that to make your partner look good, you can't do anything. I am someone who, I mean, I love that back wall. I love that back line. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so there are times when I leave and I'm like, you know, you didn't utilize your ideas. You know, you had
you
more ideas than you tried to execute, you know?
Mm.
And that happens. I mean, that's every other show. So.
Oh, no.
But
so no real egregious bombs, but sometimes the nagging feeling
but sometimes
of, oh, I should have
like,
gone out.
I should have gone out.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
I see.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. For
okay.
Sure.
Well, that's something. I was hoping, you know, to hear about the time, like, you shit the bed or something.
Well, I'll say this. My audition for Turco, I was like, I don't think this is happening, like, at all. And then it happened, and then I got on. I didn't think I was doing well at all. There are times when I'm on stage when I say things, and I just hear the audience go, and I'm like, what's that about? but
okay.
You know, and that and for Turco, it felt that way. It felt like the audience.
But you
like,
got, but you got on.
But I got on, and I have no idea.
Just be grateful.
I'm
that's
so
all.
Grateful.
That's great. Okay, so anything else? Do you want to plug something that you're working on, or you want to leave us with any parting?
Okay, wait. I'll do both of those things.
Okay.
I will do
plug
a quick
something.
Plug.
Quick plug.
For the podcast listeners out there. I'm a co-host of the podcast Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Tell us what that's about.
It's Jonathan Braylock, Jerome Milligan, and myself.
Ooh,
we
all
review
stars.
All stars. All stars.
All stars.
let
and these
that
are
be...
guys that are. Are they both on Astronomy Club? Yeah.
They're both on Astronomy Club, yes. I just want to reiterate, All Stars.
All Stars.
it's a movie review podcast where we review films with leading black actors in the context of Hollywood's lack of diversity.
Oh, wow. You must be on fire right now.
Right now, it's
a big hot button,
you know,
topic.
It's unfortunate that we have so much to talk about. right now. But it's also, but you know, it's like.
Did you guys talk about Beasts of No Nation?
We just, that's the episode that came out on the day that we're recording this, but it has nothing to do with who's listening to this right now. It was several weeks ago, I guess.
I will listen to it because I have, I thought that was one of the most beautiful films of the year.
Yeah.
I could not believe
it was
that
it so was good.
Not.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. So you're, so plug.
That's
so
my plug.
Black Man Can't Jump in Hollywood. Okay. Great.
Yes. Podcast listeners, check that out. Great. And then I guess my parting words. You know, are just like play, man.
Yeah, that's great.
I mean, you know, like my roots are connect directly to me being a kid and doing this.
Yeah,
and it hasn't really gone away. You know, so like, don't let that go. Like,
so
play,
bring some
have
of that
fun.
childlike wonder to your improv scenes.
Yes.
Do you think that in general people could stand to bring more of that to their work?
I mean, yes.
When you coach groups,
it's called when I coach, I definitely right. But we're playing, right?
Yeah.
We play together. That's what we call it, you know.
And we forget that.
That's
Do not forget it. That's great. And that was a long form conversation.
Woo!
Great. Okay, so tune in to the next episode. You're going to be, let's plug your next episode. So James III is going to be interviewing Lauren Adams.
Yes.
Ooh. thanks to UCB for having us. This has been really great.
Yeah, this has been great. Thank you, Carrie. This has been great.
Yeah, really fun. And I'll see you tonight because we're going to do a show together tonight.
Yes, we are. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the UCB Long Form Conversations podcast on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and review at itunes.com/UCB Comedy. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center. Find cutting-edge comedy videos on YouTube and Vimeo at UCB Comedy. Find our live shows at ucbtheater.com and connect with us on social media at UCB Comedy. This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.